everybody, welcome to Friday Filibuster. I am a slightly under the weather David Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hack-a-do.
And Alice Nelson.
Hello.
Three of us will take you into magical weekend of magic and weekending. And Mac, I gotta ask you, did you go to Comic-Con
this past? Yes, I did. Yeah, the Boston Comic-Con.
Well, so please do tell about your experience.
It was fun. It was crowded like crazy. The amount of people there was just astounding. So that made it kind of an exhausting day, but it was fun, though. It was definitely one of the biggest cons that we've had in Boston since I've lived here, certainly.
Besides Dig, of course, right?
Yeah.
that's a cop minutes I'm talking. So did you see anyone famous?
Well, it's not like the one in San Diego. There's not movie stars there, but from the comic industry, we had some pretty big names. There was a lot of people were there just to see Ed McGuinness, who draws the Hulk, and he had a long run on Superman. Mm-hmm. Tim Sale was there, who did artwork for
All Seasons, right?
Yes, very good, Dave.
How's that? And Long Halloween, right?
And Batman Long Halloween, which is one of Chris Nolan's favorite comics.
What do you think? Keep Barometer Rising over here in New Hampshire?
Big time.
Yeah, so that was really cool. I got an autograph from Joe Chen, who is a great cover artist, did all the covers for Runaways, and she worked on the Buffy comics for Dark Horse. She was really nice, and she was able to sign a print, a Runaways print for me, so that was really cool.
So it really was like, yeah, so it was kind of missing the Hollywood movie stuff, right? So it was really like a comic con, yes?
It was definitely emphasis on comics, yeah. And so it was kind of split in half. You know, one half of the room was just the vendors selling everything you could believe, comics and graphic novels and collectibles of all kinds. And then the other half of the room was what they call Artist's Alley, where you have the pros signing autographs, and you have a ton of, like, small press folks who are, selling their self-published work. And I spent a lot of
it. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, did you cover it for your newspaper, or you just went for your own enjoyment?
No, I just went for just to be there, yeah, because I do enjoy the comic books. Yeah. Huh. And let's see. Yeah, so in Artist's Alley, we have folks who are showing off their old self-published work and even some webcomics creators there. So webcomics are not dead. They're still a community going there. And that's the other autograph I got. She's not famous, but it's a webcomic I really like called School of World. Megan Brennan is the artist for that, and she was about a School of World book, and she autographed it, so that was really awesome.
All right.
And of course, you have to have the people in the so-called cosplay.
Yeah, please do inform me.
Lots of costumes. There was this big black guy who was done up as Mr. T, and not only, but in character the whole time.
Oh, good.
So, he was really popular. Although after about 10 minutes or so, I was kind of like, okay, yeah, you're pitiful, I get it. Maybe you could go over to the other side of the con for a little while. there was a lot of folks there, you know, a lot of Jedi Knights, a lot of guys done up as Batman.
What was the overwhelming consent, like the most popular costume you saw?
Most popular? I saw a lot of Batman. I saw a lot of the Joker. I'd say those two were probably the most popular. But it was really varied, though. And it was really fun to see some more obscure characters come out. Like, I mean, walking around in a Batman costume is one thing, but it's a whole other personality type to walk around dressed as Mirror Master.
Yeah.
And, of course, a lot of the ladies did really slutty versions of their famous favorites.
That's right.
Book heroes. Yeah.
That really has become, I know, Alice, that gross generalization, because when I see all these, after Halloween, you see all these pictures, and it just seems like an excuse to wear very little clothing for a lot of women. Is that a gross overgeneralization?
No, I think I agree with you 100%.
Okay.
All right. Nice. So what did you dress as, Mac?
What's that?
What did you go as? Did you dress up as the mirror guy? Or?
No, I was not. I don't have a good body type for Mirror Master.
It's a castle. You should have gone as a castle.
Yeah, there you go.
I was not in costume. I joked on Twitter beforehand that I was going dressed as the guy who collects comic books.
Yeah, not bad.
Did him perfect, right?
Yes.
Costume. Good. Anything else?
Yeah, that should just about do it.
Very good.
Just bought a whole lot of collectibles and got some autographs and had a good time.
So what does your comic book collection look like these days?
I'm running out of room fast. With the last long box is kind of I don't quite have a place to put it. I have to like walk around it every time I go to the to get something out of my closet. So it's getting pretty large.
Very good.
My next place I live in is going to have to be bigger than my current place just to fit all the comics.
Nice. All right, Alice, take it away. What do you got?
Oh, it's been boring over here in Idaho, but I've been watching that AMC show, The Killing.
Yes, did you see the first season?
I'm watching the first season.
Oh, okay.
On Netflix. I don't have cable, so. But I remember Eric reviewed it a while back, and he was sort of so-so about it. But I find it kind of interesting. It does resemble a bit the Twin Peaks thing, not as quirky as Twin Peaks was with the apple pie and the coffee. But similar in the fact that they're trying to find who killed a girl who had sort of a kind of a shady background that nobody knew about. And they do it pretty well. It's much straighter than Twin Peaks was. It's not as David Lynch-y as Twin Peaks was, but it's I find it pretty interesting so far, and it's got me hooked. You know, I'm waiting to see how – I'm 9 episodes in, waiting to see how it ends. I have 4 more to watch and see how it goes, and then I might buy it off of Amazon to watch season 2. We'll see.
Nice.
But that's been it for us.
All right. Yeah, and I'll just say that the AMC show that I've been watching this season and enjoying has been Mad Men. I know it's not a minority opinion to say that Mad Men is a good show, but I was kind of disappointed last season. I thought it was a little off, but this season has been consistently entertaining. This past episode was a bunch of snooty New Yorkers get together and try LSD episode. So.
Oh, there you go. Fun.
Yeah, so it was... That was pretty interesting. So
I still haven't seen that show.
Yeah, it's definitely worth seeing, I think. I mean, sometimes they get a little too cutesy with the, you know, boy, look at what kind of cavemen we were in the 60s, har, you know. But, and last episode, there was just this really kind of glaring Mitt Romney joke tossed in there, which it was just like some guy, some politician was talking to Mitt Romney's dad or something, just threw a barb. It's just like, those totally take you. I mean, it's just you knew the writer was working really hard to just put that zinger in there.
Exactly.
So, hey, their show, they do whatever they want. but regardless, I did find the show overall very good so far this season, and I am enjoying it quite a deal. So, let's move on, Max. Stuff we've been working with, stuff we got cooking for the site.
Yeah, for an upcoming review. I'm working on season 1 of Bob's Burgers, the Fox comedy.
That's right. Do the people in charge of home movies responsible for this, or is it just the voice?
You know, I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Was Lauren Bouchard, isn't that who it is? Or?
Lauren Bouchard and John Benjamin are both involved, but I'm not sure. I don't know if it's quite the same producers or not. I'll have to look that up and get back to you.
Okay.
But it's a pretty funny show. It starts out good, and it kind of gets gradually better as it goes along. Basically, it's an animated sitcom about a family-owned burger joint. And in the first couple of episodes, the three kids are just sort of one-joke characters. But as the show progresses, they really start opening up the kids' personalities and give the kids some more depth, and that adds like so much to the show. It adds so much more layers to it. That it's really exciting to see. So I'm really enjoying the show. It's pretty, it kind of surprises me how it improves over time.
Cool.
All right, Else?
I'm working on a supposedly horror film called The Fields, which takes place in a Pennsylvania rural farm where a little kid's staying with his grandparents, and he finds a dead body in the cornfields. And after that, your guess is as good as mine what the movie's supposed to be about. I know is there's a dead body, hippies, Charles Manson, and a sleazy, slimy farmhand.
Wow.
It's muddled, and there's so much going on.
Sounds awesome, though. I mean,
it should have been.
Sounds generally great, yeah.
Yeah, but it's...
Kind of like they got the horror movie checklist going, and they're just checking one after the other.
Sleazy farmhand. Check.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, and it was directed by two guys, so I don't know what that's about. They put their heads together and didn't get much out of it, so it's called The Fields.
All right. Oh, man, I wish I had something remotely interesting to share with you, but I don't. I reviewed yet another procedural from Britain called Murder Investigation Team. So I don't know if that it's. I didn't really bother doing a whole ton of research, as I probably should have. I don't know if that's what they are called in Britain, or if someone just churned that through the generic, you know, procedural TV show generator. Because Murder Investigation Team is about as generic as it sounds. Show's okay. I'm not one for procedurals myself. Show's, you know, show's decent, but I don't know. I guess if you're a procedural nut, this is where it's at. But the title, I can't imagine the title really grabbing someone, you know.
No, so, not really.
Yeah. So, all right. Now we're making some good time here. So, and just as my voice is about to leave me, so let's power through. Mac, take it away. Next phase.
Sure, we're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray, and you at home can play along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the Upcoming Releases tab. And there we're going to scroll down and click on the Cover Art Gallery for May 1st. And just talk about what's on the list. Right. Probably the big Hollywood release of the week would have to be Haywire.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
Steven Soderbergh action flick.
Yeah, you know, and that, now, Alice, we have talked at length, some of our Amish topics about, you know, women in action movies, and it's just hard to buy.
Well, the girl here,
I think, is legit. She's a legit badass because she's a real MMA fighter, so.
Yeah, she's an American Gladiator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I heard it was really, she was really good in this.
So, yeah, so that's got me interested right off the bat.
Me too.
It does a disservice to, like, female action heroes when you have Keira Knightley, you know.
Oh, boy.
Laying waste to, I don't know, Michael Clark Duncan or something.
Hard to buy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I just, yeah, tough sell.
Isn't that the Madonna movie W-E?
Oh, W-E, yes. Her directorial debut.
Oh.
Yeah. I heard it was not that good.
So, Mac, what's Level Up?
Oh, yeah, that's on Cartoon Network. It's their new live-action show. Four friends playing a video game. The video game comes to life. The characters in the game escape the game and they're running around in real life. And our four heroes are the only ones who can stop them. It's real kid based and really kind of simplistic. Mm-hmm. It's okay, I guess, but Cartoon Network has done better things. Last year they had Tower Prep on, which was an amazing show that got canceled right quick, and now this is on. That's kind of disappointing because I've seen Tower Prep and I know that the network can do better.
Mm-hmm. A couple movies here that I think maybe had high hopes, but I think tanked epically. Joyful Noise with Dolly Parton because I've been demanding her return for sure.
Yeah. It's just hard to look at her face with all that work she's got done.
Yeah.
That makes.
And then New Year's Eve, which looks like one of these Frankenstein monsters developed in the romantic comedy laboratory. Look at all those the people in there, and apparently it's just this piping hot turd.
And then you got Men in Black 2, since Men in Black 3 is coming out pretty soon. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mac, Thunderstorm, Return of Thor, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That would be...
Not much.
Well, he's got a severe lack of a cape, for one thing.
Does have a severe lack of a cape.
Got his hammer, though. Not much.
A lot of people can get away with that because, you know, that's... it's like from classic mythology, so Marvel doesn't quite own the name. So
that's true, right?
Of all these B movie guys are making these Thor movies. The Asylum did one like right the same week that the Thor movie came out.
Well, actually, as far as the triple features, and I'm typically unimpressed by what they pull together for these triple features, they're close with the Blazing Saddles one.
Yeah.
Blazing Saddles, Caddyshack.
Yeah.
And European Vacation is hit and miss, but, you know, mm-hmm. Those are all three, you know, worthwhile endeavors, I think, so.
Yeah. Other than the fact that they're comedies, what exactly is tying them together?
I don't know. Fart jokes?
Chevy Chase is in two of them.
That's it. They're comedies, I guess that's it.
Yeah. Okay, and then lastly, I have never seen an episode of this show, but it looks horrendous to me. It just looks like it's so far up its own butt. The NBC show, Who Do You Think You Are? With all these stars kind of discovering themselves and,
No, thank you.
Yeah, that's just, man.
Who cares? Yeah, who do you think you are? That's what I want to know.
I could care less.
Exactly.
Michael, if your dad traded spices, you know.
The blurb says that it hits the historical jackpot.
Who's that? The New York Times? New York Times?
Probably.
All right. Oh, real quick, what's that Tim Burton? That nifty looking the Tim Burton collection.
Let's see.
Amazon exclusive. Got a book.
Oh, interesting.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Beetlejuice, Batman, Batman Returns, Mars Attacks, Corpse Bride, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Where's Sleepy Hollow?
Dang.
Oh, well, Sleepy Hollow.
Must have been another studio.
Sleepy Hollow is probably my favorite Tim Burton movie, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, it looks pretty legit, so there's probably a lot better for Tim Burton fans. All right. Inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. Mac, go ahead.
This is a tricky one.
Yeah, I know. And you can't use the welcomed consensus release.
Okay. I'll just go with strong and sculpted.
Good. That's good. Alice?
Too big to ignore.
That's the winner, by the way. That is the winner. I guess I'll just go with it. She's not our sister.
That's good news, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's a relief. All right. So, ambush topics, random topics thrown at each other. I'll kick us off with scenes in a TV show or movie that you know are coming, yet still freak you out.
I'll start with I like the Paranormal Activity movies, and I saw part two, and I saw a couple of times, and there's a scene where the wife gets dragged down into the cellar. And I know it's coming every time, but every time the door shuts, flies open, and snatches her down, it just scares the bejesus out of me. So I'd have to say that movie.
Right. This is a toughie. I guess, the first one that comes to mind, I guess, would be Creepshow and the final segment with all the bugs.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's got the perfectly clean, sterile apartment, which gradually gets invaded by bugs. That's pretty creepy.
Man.
Yeah.
It is.
And all practical, too. Tons of real bugs in that scene.
Ugh.
Well, because he said that, I'll give you a two, including a bonus one, because you just jogged another one to memory. But how about the giant centipede getting in the back of Willie Scott's hair? That's ugh. And then my original one was the pruning shears scene in The Exorcist 3. Does that ring a bell for anybody?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Holy cow. You know it's coming, and it still Fs you up.
Oh, I'm going to have to see that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
it. It's not gory at all. It's just
freaky, right?
That whole scene is done so well because there's a jump scare, and then you think the jump scare is over, and then the pruning shears happens.
That's right.
Oh,
so
wow.
It takes you really by surprise.
And it's like this very static scene. You know, like
it is.
This no music, just this, like, I don't know, just mundane office work is going on for a minute or two. So it's just well staged.
Going on my list. On my Netflix list.
Yeah. Exorcist, I mean, the movie itself was a little hit and miss, but it's got a series of pretty wacky moments, especially the old lady crawling on the ceiling. That's not a lot of fun either. So it's not gory, but it's just freakish. And again, Patrick Ewing makes it a guest appearance, which makes it even that much more worth it. So come for the pruning shears, stay for the Hall of Fame Center from the New York Knicks. That's what
is he really in the movie?
He is, yeah, I believe so.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Okay, Alice, what do you got?
Okay, mine is, you know how older actors have had illustrious careers, and as they get older, they just sort of get credit for still being alive? Name older actors or actresses who have or are overstaying their welcome.
Oh. You know, I can actually think of a couple who I haven't seen recently and I kind of miss, and like Gene Hackman. What's he been up to recently?
Oh, yeah.
And I think he did a voiceover for the Home Depot or Lowe's or something.
It's Lowe's, yeah.
Yeah. What's he been up to? I don't know if he's overstayed his welcome, but didn't Anthony Hopkins say he was retiring like years ago?
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess
he was in the movie Titus.
Right.
And that was going to be his final film.
Yes. But that's a long ass time ago.
Yeah, he gives that big speech at the end, and it's like in different parts of the speech, he was paying homage to all of his favorite actors, and that was going to be his last performance.
Well, I know it's a misdemeanor to say anything bad about Anthony Hopkins, and Lord knows he's done enough for my cinematic enjoyment, but it does seem like he's really hanging on there, and he's doing this increasingly weird. I never did quite get him as like the Spanish father in Zorro, you know? So, Yeah, so I'll go with Sir Anthony Hopkins.
There okay. you go. The police will be at your door in the morning.
They will be.
Boy, this is a tough one. I'm trying.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Put on your snarky hat.
I guess so. Do I dare say Mel Gibson? I mean, just the mention of his name and people are like, oh, geez, Mel Gibson again.
Right. It's like, yeah. I guess, but I mean, the last movie he was in was that Weirdo Beaver movie. And then before that, he was totally AWOL.
And he's a sad case. The Beaver was actually a pretty good movie. I think it would have done better if he wasn't in it because he's such a people in Hollywood hate him so much, but it was a pretty decent movie. Well, I'm going to say, because I just reviewed The Fields, I'm going to say Cloris Leachman because she was in that. Oh, and no. She's also in the show Raising Hope.
Right.
And she's just, you know, she's gotten to the point where she could do and say anything and people are supposed to laugh. And she plays this woman in the movie whose mouth is completely foul, supposedly based on a true person. But after a while, it just seemed like, you know, she was ad-libbing and just using the F-bomb and all these other things just to use them. And after a while, it was, you know, I would have to mute her when she was on the screen just to get through the movie. So I'm going to say Cloris Leachman.
You know what? And you bring this up, I just realize what the right answer is. Betty White.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, I should.
Every movie has to have the Betty White cameo.
Absolutely. Exactly. Like, in fact, that was one of my most disappointing moments in Community when they kind of stooped to that level last year. You know, I had to have the Betty White cameo. I'm just going to chalk that up to studio pressure.
Yeah, there you go.
So, all right. Mac, wrap us up.
Okay, we'll go with Robots Disguised as Humans.
Man, another obvious one, but I'll try to stay away.
Oh, maybe this is the obvious one in Artificial Intelligence.
The Spielberg one?
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Woohoo.
Well, obviously the Cylons in the Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like an actual robot running around with like a mask or something, you know?
Like a robot with a real crappy human disguise?
Like a rat, yeah. Yeah, like, not like a robot that's been designed to look like a human, but a robot that puts on a crappy, yeah. Did Johnny Five ever try to dress up as something?
I don't think so. I mean, he had his little neckerchief that he wore in the second movie.
Yeah, did anyone mistake him for a human, though?
Yeah. I love that word, neckerchief. That is such a...
I'll go with the Cylons until something else.
Okay. Well, there was a real interesting article online the other day where people are speculating that with this new Ridley Scott movie, Prometheus or Promethean, whatever it's called, that Ridley Scott, this is only a rumor, I don't know if this is true or not, only just internet rumor, but that he wants to tie together the Alien movies and Blade Runner so that they're the same continuity.
Oh, jeez.
And that the...
This is like the... Autistic son in St. Elsewhere, alternate universe theory.
Right. The idea is that the androids that we see in the Aliens movies, like Bishop and Ash, are the same as the replicants from Blade Runner. That they're the same deal.
Gotcha.
Me, though, I don't buy that, because at the end of Blade Runner, when Roy Batty gets a crap beaten out of him, he bleeds red blood. But when Bishop gets taken out by the alien queen, his blood is all this white goopy stuff, which is one of the all-time great gross-outs in movie history.
Absolutely. In fact, it's more effective if it's not blood, you know? Whatever that turkey gravy he was bleeding.
Like week-old turkey gravy.
Here's some true confessions. I fell asleep watching Blade Runner. I've never seen it since.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just when I was really tired. It was late at college. I just nodded off and it was over. So never got around to seeing it.
I've just never seen it. I've always wanted to.
Oh, my God. It's one of the all-time greats.
I know. Yeah.
That's what I keep hearing. Going to have to check it out.
Turn out to do a Blade Runner, Shawshank Redemption, Citizen Kane.
You haven't seen Shawshank Redemption?
I know. And it's like, I think just judging by the frequency, it's on TV. You would think I just accidentally have watched the whole thing.
Exactly. How could you not?
But every time I turn it on,
is it another TBS favorite?
My wife says, they can't watch this, you know? Don't watch it from this point, so.
Has she seen it? Has your wife seen it?
Yeah, yeah. She consistently makes fun of me.
As she should.
Yeah. Hey, but when there's Murder Investigation Team to watch.
Yeah, who's going to watch that movie?
That's
huh?
right. Nice. Well, I'm still trying to think of a robot running around with like a human mask on, but I can't.
Wasn't there one in Total Recall? Call. She was the big fat lady, and
that was a mask, right?
That was Arnold.
Well, that's one of our favorite ambush topic guys. That always comes up in our ambush topic somehow.
It does.
The fat lady mask, Total Recall. That's an excellent. Yeah, I guess I can't think of any.
Well, there was the Johnny Cab in Total Recall.
Johnny Cab, that's true.
Oh, that's right.
I wonder if that'll make it into the remake. You know, I gotta wonder if a lot of these, you know, will Johnny Cab, will the triple-breasted whore, will that make it in the remake, you know? Michael Ironside's double amputation, does that make it in the remake?
I think there'll be an uproar if there's no triple-breasted woman in
there. Oh, man. All right, well, let's not get depressed and talk about a Total Recall remake. So, with that being said, and with my voice right on the cusp of disappearing, thank you to Alice and Mac, and please enjoy your weekend, and... Any holidays coming up? Mother's Day, right? Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mother's Day is the next one. Yeah.
All right, enjoy your Mother's Day responsibly, everybody. Mac, take us away.
I pity the fool.